I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Caleb Holly comes to us from New York City by way of his automobile, where he spends a lot of time these days touring the country to share his music and stories with audiences both big and small. He is a graduate of Berklee College of Music with a degree in jazz composition, but now spends his time writing guitar-based, soulful pop music. He's an award-winning songwriter and a soft-spoken guitar virtuoso with a huge voice. Caleb visited Lancaster in October 2010 to headline a Woodstove house concert. I sat down with him before the show to talk about his 2009 release, Steps, and his brand new album, We All Got Problems. Well, joining me in the Woodstove house is Caleb Holly. Caleb Holly comes to us from New York City and is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to headline a Woodstove house concert. So glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for being here. Let's talk about Small Steps.
Yeah.
Small Steps. Steps is Caleb's album from 2009, and this idea of small steps runs through it. Let's talk about your small steps going all the way back to when you were a kid. Where did you call home?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I guess I end up calling Minnesota home. I lived in Fargo, which is right on the border of Minnesota, and then I lived in Hudson, Wisconsin, which is on the other border of Minnesota from, you know, ages like 6 to 18, so the middle ground is Minnesota.
Okay.
So that's what I end up calling it. I started playing guitar and all that stuff. Grew up mostly in Fargo, I guess, Fargo, North Dakota.
What was it that made you pick up the guitar?
You know, it's just my family is... my parents have always played, and I actually started playing drums, but my parents got me acoustic as an alternate, I think hoping that I would play that instead because drums are loud and annoying. I just, for whatever reason, I picked it up quick and I was just, you know, within 6 months, I was playing all the Metallica and Nirvana riffs because that's what I was into then.
Sure.
And then I gradually just started getting into anything with electric guitar. So my parents, we would always go, I grew up going to folk festivals and so, you know, I would see someone like Keb Mo or I remember I liked Martin Sexton just because he had a picture of an electric guitar, you know,
right,
in his bio. So automatically that's what I was drawn to. But and that's kind of how I started drifting away from like the metal and kind of going the more acoustic route, you know. So
sure. How did that lead you then to Berklee?
Yeah, that was just you know, I got way into blues then, and then I joined the jazz band in Fargo, and I remember looking at the chords being like, what are these plus and minus signs and all sorts of different stuff? So I brought it to my guitar teacher, and I was lucky enough to have just a really good guitar teacher just from a regular store. And he taught me a lot and you know, kind of introduced me into jazz. And then I went from that and kind of became a, you know, a jazz snob for a little bit.
Okay. Is this high school?
Yeah, this is high school. This is, you know, where I remember I'd hear anything with distortion and I was like, distortion, what's that, you know, come on, like, you got to keep it clean tone and you know, it's just funny. And now it's like I feel like a really open-minded musician now, but it's that wasn't until I was about 20 or so, you know. I listened, you know, it was a lot of jazz. I mean, I always liked, you know, the acoustic stuff as well. I have folk roots because I grew up going to those festivals and everything, but when it came down to it, you know, I wanted to hear really good guitar playing and stuff. And so I went to Berklee to try to become like the next, you know, John Scofield or Pat Metheny or something. And I realized quickly how, like, you know, if you're going to be that level, if you're going to be a jazz guitar player, then basically your audience is going to be other jazz guitar players. For the most part. And so that means that you have to be better than all of them, you know, or at least have something to bring to them to interest them. And I realized, like, being at Berklee, as much as I practice hard, but as much as I practiced, there were so many great, like, outstanding guitar players that I was like, I'm not, you know, I'm going to have to go a different route. And
but you graduated with a degree in jazz composition.
Yeah, jazz composition. Yep. So I was still, you know, I was interested in jazz, and it's funny. I think I've maybe done. When I think about it, I've maybe done one gig where it was like where I used my jazz comp skills. I mean, I use it in my writing. I mean, I guess probably subconsciously, but But I remember I did like one transcribing gig where I'm like, wow, I'm actually using my degree right now. But besides that, I didn't take any songwriting classes at Berklee, but I felt like that was more of my strength. You know, I my last semester there, I kind of realized that what I had going on vocally for me was seemed more, to, you know, get more attention than guitar, which is interesting because I didn't even know, you know, I auditioned for some vocal groups and I made those, you know, so I was like, all right, you know, so then I was just, then I realized like, you know, I can put the guitar and vocal together and started writing songs and you know, it's come a long way.
That's really fascinating because the music that I'm familiar with, is, you know, really pop. I mean, it's just got a really pops. Now, granted, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh yeah,
there's jazz. You can definitely hear the jazz influence in the songs. Yeah. There's reggae influences. Mm-hmm. There's all different kinds of things happening in there. But it's interesting to go to Berklee as a jazz composition major and then to come out with these great pop songs. When did you graduate?
2007. Yeah.
Oh wow. So So
recent. Pretty recent. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think about that a lot. I wonder what happened. Like, I was so in the jazz mindset, and I still practice jazz, but at the same time, I feel like it's a slight waste of time because it's like I'm practicing it, but I'm never really playing it live, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I don't know exactly what happened, but I don't know when it was, but became a time when I was like, you know what? You know, music doesn't necessarily need to be complex. Like, if I like the song, like, you know, I like it, you know, and even while I love jazz, like I said, I always listen to singer, like, you know, my musical hero is Randy Newman. I always listen to him. I always listen to Cab Mo, and they have, you know, maybe some interesting, like, they're great musicians and they have interesting stuff in their music, but still overall, like, Randy Newman's a pop songwriter.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Kevin Moe is blues, but you know, he has pop songs on his record too, you know, and I think I finally just came to the point where I'm like, you know what? It feels like sometimes it feels like work to listen to jazz. Like, you know, like as much, you know, and with pop, like it's just I've gotten so much more into lyrics too, so it's like, you know, I wanna hear, you know, a good story in the song and I've just gotten a lot more into it. Gone for
good. Well, Steps is a great record from last year, and obviously very prolific with a new album that is actually just coming out now.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about Steps for a minute, though, because well, first of all, the album cover is great.
Thanks.
I really
dig
that album. Where did that come from?
That's a guy named Matt Cleveland. Lives in Madison. He's done all three of my my CDs. My first one was when I was done right out of Berklee. It was called Greatest Hits, and which was funny at the time, and now it's just confusing. But and then I did Steps, and my newest one, We All Got Problems. So yeah, it's always been the same guy, kind of keeping a theme with it.
That's cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the first song is Small Steps, and it's really, you know, about the different stages of a music career.
Yeah, yeah.
So where did that idea come from?
Actually, you know, that came very specific. I was in the songwriting competition, New York Songwriter Circle thing, and one of the nights, this singer-songwriter from Nashville, Dave Barnes, was talking, and he said, for some reason, it just really stuck with me. He said, you know, like, how he had gotten to the point that he was, which is moderate success, like, it was just, looking back on his career, it was a lot of small steps. And I, as much as I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, that's cool to hear, but at the same time, it's like, kind of scary, because, you know, you want you want to have that big success right away. You don't want it to take such a long road. And I originally tried to write that song, you know, from my perspective, but then also be able to apply it to, you know, any kind of, like, anybody who's starting a business of any sort. But then, in the second verse and stuff, it gets pretty personal with, you know, life as a musician. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's funny. Like, I mean, there's so many people, you know, doing what I do and on a small level, you know, making a living with it that aren't big time. But I mean, I guess it's just, you know, that's how it is. It's a long road to get there, and
Well, how are you feeling about the step that you're on right now?
You know, I mean, I've, you know what? that's the one thing, you know, I can always look back and I can always think where I was a year ago, I'm further ahead, you know, so sometimes it feels a little stagnant. Sometimes it feels like it's a plateau, but it's really not, you know, I'm just finishing up really just a tour, you know, I've been on the road for about 5 or 6 weeks and this is, you know, this is the best, it's the best one. And they've progressively gotten better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like where I'll either be getting better gigs or there'll be, you know, more people if it's markets that I've played in the past. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely been progress. That's the important thing.
Lately they've been telling me that there's fortune in my destiny. Well, it's funny, I don't see the same thing. Sitting here staring at a computer screen. And I try so hard to sit back and believe. But my patience gets the better part of me. I'm so sick of the small steps. It's getting late for a leap of faith. Lay it out on the table. Ain't no need to negotiate. If it's all or nothing, and I'd rather know right now. This time to take it to the top. Someone show me how.
The other side of it all is a song from Steps that really blew me away.
Thanks.
I'm going to lay a pretty big compliment on you right now. I tell you, I think it's one of the best pop songs I've ever heard.
Oh,
I can't
thanks
get enough of it.
Thanks.
And lyrically, it's just, it's so hopeful. Can you talk about that song a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember specifically, you know, at the time I was working part-time at Starbucks, and I just remember that was when I read the paper the most, because I'd have my breaks, and then I'd also, you know, being in New York, you have a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of wealth, you know, so you have people coming in like, oh, how depressing is this economy, you know, just so down about it. And I was just like, you know, I wanted to write something, you know, uplifting, because I, you know, you look in history, like, there's been, you know, there's been a lot of downtimes, and it always comes up, you know, and that's the kind of the theme of the song, you know, other side of it all, getting across to the other side. And it's just, it's funny though, because I was originally writing that song about, it was originally called Innocent Affair, and it was a totally different lyric direction.
Oh, really?
Which I'm so glad I didn't go that way, because it would have been so. Because the thing is, I had the riff and I had the melody, and I was like, you know what, this is gonna be a good pop song. I could tell, and I was like, so what direction? And I think about most pop music, and like a lot of it is about relationships, and I was like, maybe I should just kind of, you know, sell out and go that way, but then, you know, whatever, I guess. My conscience or something held me back, and I thought that the, you know, world, you know, kind of, or the country kind of needed a song, needed an uplifting song, and so, you know, I play it around a lot, and people tend to, you know, appreciate it.
It's fantastic.
Thanks.
Ago, the early 30s, there was trouble. A whole nation of discouraged people. Till FDR made a deal. And we moved along. But today, still seeing worry on the people's face. The banks took all confidence out of this place. And there's no money to be made. But we'll find our way. Everything's gonna be okay. It always is. 'Cause ever since the world began, when the people go down, they get right back up again. I know that it's hard to imagine, but it's gonna happen. I'll see you on the other side of it all.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is New York-based singer-songwriter Caleb Holly. The track called My Own Two Feet, mm-hmm. I really like that song as well. There's a real conflict in it for me. And when I listen to it, between this college student with no money and debts, but a future, and then contrasted with this, you know, this homeless person who's who has no money either, but doesn't really have a future, or at least not one that's obvious. And you know, as I'm listening to the song, I'm trying to sort of figure out from what position that kid is coming from, and that's really the conflict. It's not a contrast between those two characters so much as it seems like there's a real inner struggle going on.
Oh yeah, and that was, it's funny you bring that up. I mean, that's another very specific memory. You know, I wrote that song in my last semester of Berkeley, and it was written completely different than the way it's played on now. But there was always a few people, you know, a few guys that I would pass every single time. You know, I was in the city in Boston. Every single time I'd pass them, you know, homeless, you know, obviously hungry, and I would make the excuse to myself every time, you know, even though I had money, I was like, you know, or I mean, not much. I'm a college student,
right,
but at the same point, at the same time, like, I mean, I'm here. I am in college. Like, I'm in college. Like, things are obviously. The future looks bright.
If you're wrapping up your last semester at Berkeley.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would always, in my head, I'd make the excuse like, well, yeah, sure, he doesn't have any money, but then there's me who has negative money because I just paid so much to go to this art school. And so I just kind of went with that theme, and I was thinking, you know, there's the common phrase, you know, take a walk in someone else's shoes, imagine yourself in their place. And so that's kind of how, you know, that was the theme of that song, you know, how I was just, I'm stepping in the shoes of my own feet, you know.
That man at the end of the street needs a little money and a bite to eat. But look at me, I got college loans. I just passed my limit on my cell phone. He needs a place to stay, he needs a place to lay. He's not to be alone at the end of the day. Yeah, he needs love. So I dug down deep into my jeans until I realized all I had was a 20. And that's just too much money.
There is a cover song on Steps that is it's extremely well done. It's The Way It Is, the old Bruce Hornsby song from the 80s. Why that song?
Yeah, I it's interesting. The song, when I was writing My Own Two Feet, which we just talked about, I remember the way I came up with that was with a certain chord progression, and I heard it, and I was like, you know what, this kind of reminds me of a Bruce Hornsby thing. And the way I originally wrote the song was a track-based song, and it wasn't even written with guitar, and it was just, and I even stole the beat and everything, and basically, you know, boom, doom, doom, you know, the typical thing. And so for some reason I kind of grew to like that song, and then I decided like I want to learn this song in a different format, and that's how always been my approach to covers. Most of the covers I do are typically either piano based songs or not guitar based, and you guitar them out. Yeah, and you know, turn them into, it's a good way to make a cover, you know, your own kind of, and thinking about The Way It Is, like, as much as that sounds a great song, and I mean, it's great lyrics, great everything, but it's such it's so 80s, you know, it's like, it's like so programmed. So, you know, like synthesizers, and as much as I still love it, obviously, but, I wanted to try to, you know, make an acoustic and a contemporary version of it. And,
you breathed a lot of new life into it. Some friends and I were here one night listening to your record, and it came on, and I said, let's go back and hear the original, because I hadn't heard it in a while.
And
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It sounded even more sort of robotic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
After listening to this sort of organic, you know, upright bass acoustic guitar version of it.
Yeah.
You know?
That was the route I went. I went, you know, I wanted to go, you know, pretty much brushes on the drums and upright and some vibes, actually, and acoustic, and I wanted to kind of go that that route. Nothing electric or synthesized, you know.
Yeah.
And
suit hurries by as he catches the poor old lady's eye, and just for fun he says, I get a job. But that's just the way it is. Some things will never change, and that's just the way it is.
So how about this new CD you have out? We All Got Problems.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, that's CD where Steps is like, you know, I feel like it's you know, obviously I'm a songwriter, I care about lyrics and stuff, but it's a lot more musical as far as like, you know, chords and stuff going on. This one was mainly about the lyrics. Like I had a theme. I wrote the song We All Got Problems, and it's kind of a theme about you know, the over, like, in my opinion, like the kind of overprescribed country we are, and so I wanted to make the whole CD, every single song I wanted to revolve around some sort of thing you may tell a therapist or something, you know, like my family is all therapist, I'm not, so maybe it was like, hey, it's time to do my part for the field or something, you know. So the We All Got Problems is kind of like the whole theme, and then it kind of goes off. You know, there's a song, I would call it a marriage and family therapy song. It's an infidelity song. It's actually a positive approach, but it has like a suicide song. It has a laziness song. It has all sorts of, you know, things. And I tried to put my own kind of twist on it. And it's a lot more written, like the lyrics were written first on all the songs, and it's heavily influenced by Randy Newman and Tom Waits, you know, like they're kind of satirical lyrics and like social commentary type stuff, so
right.
that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
And that'll be available on iTunes soon.
Yeah, probably just, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, probably by mid-November. Yeah.
But available now at shows.
Yeah.
So if you're lucky enough to.
And it can be the hard copy can be ordered at cdbaby.com as well.
We all got problems. We all got pain. We all need lots and lots of pills, 'cause we're all insane. Demerol, weed, drugs are what we need. 'Cause we all got problems. Yeah, we all got pain. Elvis and Michael Jackson were a couple of kings, with fame and fortune falling at their feet. But Jackson took injections and Presley popped them in, and their problems got the better of them. They died. 'Cause we all got problems. We all got pain. We all need love.
So you've been on the road for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? What's a day in the life of Caleb Holly on tour like?
I found that actually when I drive more, it actually feels somewhat more productive. 'Cause when I don't have to drive much, it's like, what am I going to do all day? You know, it's like, and you know, there's always, I always want to be able to practice guitar, but it's really hard to do from the road. You know, it's like, and you know, it all depends. I just got done going all the way from, you know, I did the Southeast all the way to Denver and back. And, you know, and the shows can be, you know, there was great. I mean, my favorite state of all places was Nebraska. You know, it was, They packed them in and had like these built-in crowds, and that was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I think a day in the life on the road really is. The most important thing I try to do is I try to at least go running, because I feel like that I feel like it can be so much sitting that I'm like, I just need to do something active so yeah. I can feel fine about this, you know? And you know, the show is normally I end up, you know, getting there around 5 or 6, but then, yeah, I have the whole day. And a lot of times I just find some cafe and get some, you know, there's a lot of business to be taken care of as a musician too, you know?
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so I do that end of it. And
it's pretty amazing how today you can, you know, you can take a laptop computer with you and work. Yeah. You know,
oh, absolutely. It's huge. I mean,
think about what it was like, you know, 15 years ago.
And now it's, yeah, I know. And now, like, this is my first tour with a smartphone. So now it's so much easier to just, like, find where, you know, like, yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, well, the first time I toured, I've always been into it. You know, I set up my first tour, week-long tour, when I was, like, 16. And I remember we went with the band in high school and played, you know, kind of all over the place, random. But I can't even imagine doing that now because it's, like, I was having to look up every venue by like phone book, and like I it seems so crazy like how easy it's become now, you know.
Right,
just in a few years.
Stop and find a payphone.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Call the venue, try to get a confirmation.
Oh, exactly. Oh,
can't check their schedule.
I know. I'm just so lucky. I'm just like, luckily none of those shows were ever like, they were always there. You know, that's a nightmare to drive to a place and have it.
Places closed up or whatever.
It's never happened to me, but I've heard about it from other musicians.
Being double booked, I think, is maybe even worse because then you're in this totally awkward.
Oh, absolutely awkward. Like, that has happened to me once, but luckily, it was a place that I'd never played, so it was cool because they let us open, and they had brought a ton of people to the show, so at least we got an audience that way, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
how about a couple of Desert Island Discs?
Yeah, I and CDs I would not go without. I think. And this sounds, it's probably the best of Randy Newman. I have all of his CDs, but he's my biggest musical influence, and that one probably the one that comes to my head is Brown Sugar by D'Angelo. I've been big into soul music and that's, you know, that's a great warm up CD too. It really warms up your falsetto. And let's see, a third.
So for all those gigs that you're going to be playing, you'll need...
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you got to warm up. Yeah. You know, I think a third, it's really, it's tough. I maybe think Black Sheep by Martin Sexton. I kind of stopped listening to him for a little bit just because of he used to be such a big influence that, and I've seen this with other singer-songwriters or with other, you know, yeah, male singers where it's like, whoa, you're pulling out a bag of tricks that from Martin Sexton, you know, like that's obvious, you know. And so I probably haven't really consistently listened to him in like, you know, 4 or 5 years, but there was a time when I was just like an absolute ripoff, you know. But if it was a Desert Island experience, you know, I would take that with me.
Yeah, so,
yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to worry about that influence rubbing off so much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for doing this, for joining me in the Wood Stove House, and thanks so much for being here tonight for a Wood Stove House
concert. Yeah, looking
forward
to playing. Yeah.
Caleb Holly is an award-winning singer-songwriter and guitar virtuoso with a big soulful pop sound. Find out more about Caleb, check his tour schedule, and buy his music at calebholly.com. Or link up at woodstovehouse.com, where you can also listen to past episodes, check out the show notes, and learn more about the Wood Stove House concert series. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
All right, cool, man.
Sweet.